I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Starting a business on your own can be lonely and worrying. Selling online multiplies this issue tenfold. Getting expert help is a great way to reduce anxiety, wasted time, and confusion. The Amazing FBA Mentoring Program is in its fourth year of helping sellers to get started on Amazon. By now, we have former clients who have, starting from scratch, done six figures and even in one case, seven figures a year. Obviously, these are not typical results. These are exceptional people. Nevertheless, we can help you get launched faster, safer, and with a much higher chance overall of success. With clients from Melbourne, Australia to Manchester, England, we bring a genuinely international perspective. To find out more, go to amazingfba.com/mentoring. Thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. This is your host, Michael Veazey, and I am with John Tilley from Zonguru. He is the CEO and co-founder, along with Adam Hudson of Reliable Education, of Zonguru, say Zonguru, which is an all-in-one software package that helps Amazon sellers scale their business. So lots of things, including product research, which we focused on in the last couple of episodes. But today we're going to talk about the next phase. So John, once people have got launched with the product, as you and I were talking, the algorithm is quite judgmental these days. So what do you see the main mistakes that people make, assuming they've picked a decent product and they've done a decent launch? What things do you see happening that don't go so well after that in the next few months if people make those mistakes?
Yeah, I'm glad you phrased that in one, assuming they've picked a decent product, because I think we see that so many times that, you know, people don't do the right amount of research around picking the right product. And when they launch, it's not going their way. And then they immediately are trying to do things off of Amazon, trying to find Facebook traffic and everything else. And I think if you follow the right strategy and you do the right homework and you launch the right product, your biggest challenge is going to be staying in stock, you know, and that's important. So you don't have to even do anything off of Amazon. So there's a lot of demand there. I think that around the biggest mistakes, I think one is not understanding the velocity of sales that you need to do to be able to compete with the competitors on page one. So for all of the sellers on page one, and defining that as the space that you want to compete in, how many sales do I actually need to make on a daily basis for the algorithm to say, hey, this guy's doing enough to get to page one, right? And to stay on page one. So I think that is the first piece. And I think the second piece is not doing enough research around your keywords to ensure that you have the right set of keywords and you've targeted the right keywords that will help you with the highest conversion rate. Because if you can convert on a keyword, Amazon is going to favor you in their ranking. And the easiest way to look at that is probably just to understand simplistically that Amazon wants to make money from you. And so if you can prove to them in those first few weeks that you are going to make the money, they'll send you traffic.
That's a very good point. And so I guess, yeah, one of the things you've got to always look at it is relative. So people can start getting very focused on their own business and their own products. Weirdly enough, even though they've just got one product, I mean, you can understand that if someone's got 100, they get wrapped up in the management of their own business. But yes, you've always got to look at it relative to everything else. So just because you're doing 1,000 units a month, that feels like a lot of money. If your competitors are doing 50,000 units a month of some $1 product, then you aren't going to be staying up in the rankings and things drop off a lot after page one. But yeah, the other one is profitable keywords, I guess you're saying, on, you know, converting keywords, which is very important as well. I guess the two things go together, right? But what about business metrics? And talking mistakes, I often find, and we mentioned the other episodes, I often find the most extreme examples, like I've got a client I've just taken on who's doing about $10,000 a month, sometimes more, and he literally hasn't looked at his business reports, which kind of blows my mind. I mean, I guess it's because it's kind of an Amazon-specific thing. I guess he's looking at the output of the system, i.e. sales and revenue, but he's not really looking at how that's achieved. So is this typical? And what metrics do you think that Amazon sellers should be looking at that they don't? And again, assume once they've launched with the product.
Yeah, I think one this is a phrase that again my co-founder says a lot, and it's not about turnover, it's about leftover, right? And that's a very simple thing to say, but it's a strong idea of how do you run your business. If you don't understand and you're not optimized for what's left over, your business is not going to be optimized, and it's not going to do as well as it needs to do. So you can do as much revenue as you want, but if you don't have a decent amount of leftover, it's not a great business. So we look at that, and I think one of the things we've always thought about when we developed Zonguru is to make sure that we really apply our business acumen in terms of how we visualize the data to that point of saying, okay, if I'd log into Zonguru and I look at the business dashboard, what are the absolute key metrics that I would need to look at immediately to be able to assess whether my business is doing well, or if there's areas that I need to dive in to fix to help it to perform. And so I think we're pretty proud of our dashboard in that I think it's the best in the space from visually displaying the right data so that you can make the right decisions for your business. So yeah, that's what we look at, especially on our business metrics and dashboard.
It's funny that you should say that about leftover, not turnover. Yeah, I remember Adam saying that when he came on the podcast a while ago, talking about reliable education as a whole, and the leftover, not turnover, really nice phrase. But actually, it sounds obvious, but again, I've taken on another coaching client who's doing about, again, similar to £10,000 a month, so upwards, whatever that $12,000, $13,000 a month. So not a complete newbie. He's been in the space for 2 years, but he's really struggling to know what his net profit is. And it's not easy to figure out, right? So presumably what you're saying is your tool set includes things like the gross profit and loss calculator, that kind of thing.
We do. We've spent an extensive time on the dashboard because one, it's knowing all of the fees that impact your net margin. And funny, well, not funny enough, but it's not that easy to get at to. Amazon is not great at disclosing all of that. So we've done a lot of detective work to find out exactly all of the fees and how those play into your monthly numbers. So that's one thing that we've spent a lot of time breaking down is all of the fees, where they're coming from. And again, being able to input your cost of goods and understanding that has to be at an individual product level all the way from your manufacturer to actually arriving into Amazon, through, if you have a 3PL, if you have freight, all that kind of stuff has to be included in that number so that it's really accurate for your business. And there's a list of things to break down your cost of goods, but that's a really important piece to get right. At a high level, we showcase, what your business is doing from a profit, from a margin perspective. But we take it further in that we actually calculate the value of your business. And I don't think there's any other tool out there that does this, but we have a business valuation estimate, which will really at any given point give you the value of your business based on the stock that you have, not even stock that you've sold, but stock that you actually have, because that's real assets for your business, plus your actual net margin over a given time and your sales over a given time. And you annualize that over a 12-month period, and then you have the ability to add your kind of multiple on that, which is anywhere from like 1.5 to 2, maybe 2.5, depending on what your how healthy your business is. But really knowing that number, hey, I'm doing £10,000 a month, but my business is actually worth £1.5 million. That kind of number is from a business perspective is really good to know. So we do include that on our dashboard as well, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it that's not bad to point your brain in that direction, I guess. And a business valuation is quite a complex business that's normally going to involve a broker. But still, it's good to have that number there front and center just to remind you that you're trying to build an asset in most cases that you may well sell. I mean, I think it's probably a very, very sensible option these days. Trying to predict the future 15 years down the line or something is going to be very hard to do, but you can probably build an asset to sell within 3 to 4 years with a fair degree of certainty. And the fact is that that's what a lot of people seem to be doing. So yes, I like that one very much. So let's take a slightly bigger, let's zoom out slightly. So you've been around for a while in this space. Tell me about the evolution of the Amazon space and just sort of wrap up on that one. Since 2014, where do you think, what do you think has really changed since then and now? And where do you think things going over 2020?
Yeah, I got involved in Amazon back in 2014. I was based out in Los Angeles. I'd actually just moved here from London. I was based in London for a few years and originally from South Africa. But I guess the best place to start that conversation is just to reflect on why I got into Amazon at the time. I was working at an advertising agency with some fairly large clients in the digital space. And I guess there was always this desire to be my own entrepreneur, have my own business. And through conversations I had with my co-founder, Adam, we really started to look at this product-based income idea back in 2014. And we tested a few products and they did incredibly well for us. And you know, it's important to remember when we got involved in Amazon in 2014, the conversations that were happening at that time were, wow, Amazon is just so much more competitive right now. I don't even know if it's worth getting into Amazon, you know, and this was in 2014, which is the same conversations that everyone's having today, which is Amazon too competitive? Should we be getting into that space? The important point there is this is as good a time as any, if not better, but you do absolutely need to be smarter about how you approach Amazon. Back in those days in 2014 or even before that, I think it was a lot easier to pick a product, maybe not even differentiate too much, and be able to rank and get to page one and have a pretty successful initial business. I would say that even back in those days, if you didn't treat it like a long-term business where you try to differentiate your product, that success was very fleeting and didn't last long. And we still see that today. So at the end of the day, massive things have evolved. I think back then, the level of quality of your competition, how their listings looked, how the images looked, how the actual page was displayed, what kind of paid search opportunities were on the page were drastically less than it is today. But the opportunity is absolutely still there, even today going into 2020. It's just about understanding the various pieces and making the right decisions based on data input.
I mean, based on my very rough calculations that e-commerce has been growing about 12% a year for quite a long time and still roughly, you know, 12 to 15% range, and that Amazon has a bigger market share. I had about 40% of the market when I went in 2014. I understand it's got 55% in America now. So overall, it's probably roughly doubled in turnover. So it's a bigger set of people to sell to than ever, but it's going to be harder to get in there. So I suppose it's like anything else, isn't it? It's more valuable real estate, but it just costs more and more effort is needed to play. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah. Yes, I think that's a fair summary. I think the phrase that comes up is, if you're going into Amazon nowadays, you have the opportunity to pick a niche within a niche. You know, it's a small sliver within that massive pie, but because there's such good customer demand, you know, if you're on Amazon.com, forget about Europe, but Amazon.com, you know, you're looking at 350 million people or whatever it is. And they are, you know, potentially 80% of their online shopping is done through Amazon, right? So you have an opportunity to target a very small niche, but still do incredibly well. And that's the way I would approach private label. I think one thing that has changed a lot is I think gone are the days of looking for a kitchen gadget like a spatula and you know, launching that and doing well with it. So those you know, everyday goods, I think is a place that we can play in less, and it's incredibly harder to launch a product in those spaces. And even if you do, you're now competing with big brands who have a massive paid search budget that they I'm sure you're getting this feedback from some bigger clients as well, but you know, they literally are coming into the space and saying, hey, I want to spend $50,000 a month on paid search just to keep my competitors out. And they're putting that kind of money into it. And you know, paid search and paid media for Amazon in that space is becoming very lucrative. If you're a new seller, that's not a place you want to play in. You want to find that different niche that is potentially not where the big brands go, but still has some really good search volume or demand volume, and trying to own that space.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So it's all about the niche then, really. It's some niches these days, a niche of a niche market. And I think you're right, by the way, just reflecting on my experiences, and I launched in late 2014. It was December 1st that I got my first ever sale to somebody. I sold one product to myself on the 30th of November, 2014. I just remember that date because, you know, it was the first time I could see the mechanics of the thing worked. And then on the 1st of December, I was like, wow, this might actually work. Real people are buying my products. Having said that, my product wasn't very differentiated and it went through a pretty brutal life cycle quite swiftly of being making sales, but not really making a profit because it was exactly the same as everything else. So even in 2014, that strategy wasn't really working. And actually, what I see these days is it doesn't seem ultimately that very, very different, except that in October 2016, the incentivized review thing changed. So obviously, it's harder to get reviews now. But apart from that, it's more or less the same job, which is it was pretty competitive in 2014, actually. And if you're differentiated really, really well and had good images, then you could do really well. And if your product was the same as everything else and your listing wasn't on point, it didn't do very well. So I actually think in some ways, it sounds odd to say it, I think the difference is less than a lot of people make out. I mean, you've been selling for about the same time. Would you say that's true? Or do you think I'm wrong here?
I think you're right in a lot of those ways. I think that the way I look at it is Amazon is going to fail as a business model if, kind of sounds simple, but if they lose their customer interest, right? They have this massive customer base, but if they can't keep them interested in buying products off of Amazon, they are going to fail as a business model, right? So they are very heavily incentivized to make sure that they are bringing the latest, greatest, most amazing products to their customers, right? And so if you think about that for a second, it makes a lot of sense that if you launch a product that is differentiated, that brings a new way of solving a solution or connecting with the customer, if you can really be creative around that and launch something in that space, Amazon, no matter how competitive the market is, Amazon's algorithms are incentivized to give you a shot, to test you, to put you in front of customers, see how you convert. And therefore, if you do well on that front, they will give you more and more traffic because they are going to make a lot of money, but also keep their customers interested by bringing them the latest, greatest, most evolved product in the space. So I think if you keep that in mind, some of the fear about launching a product on Amazon or even in a competitive category is less, because I strongly believe that no matter what you launch, Amazon is going to test you. The algorithm is going to test you. And if you can be relevant and convert at a high percentage, you're going to get more traffic and you do incredibly well. And then you just have to stay in stock, right? So to your point, I think that no matter how competitive this industry gets, you're always going to have a shot. And it's that first 14 to 21 days, they're going to test you and give you that chance.
Yeah, I like it. So in other words, everyone gets a little bit of time in the sun and then that's it. The judgment's going to be made. So it's a question of making a great first impression on Amazon's customers in the end, isn't it? I think I like what you're saying. And it's a good reminder to everyone that, you know, there's a sort of warning and an upside here. The warning is just because you've sold okay for 21 days doesn't mean you're going to get any sales in future, because that's just the honeymoon period, as they call it. But the flip side of that, as you say, I think that's a really nice message to put out there, because I think it's true, which is that you just need to be good at solving a problem and really worth buying and really worth grabbing people's attention with wonderful photography and a well-designed product that does a great job for a specific person. Because Amazon will give you that fighting chance to show you if you push hard. And if it takes off, the algorithm rewards it pretty directly. So that's the other thing to say, that I think in a lot of markets, the incumbents, the people who are already established, have a massive advantage. Now, they have something of an advantage on Amazon, but very, very often you'll see a marketplace. And if you go and revisit that a year later, everything has changed, because Amazon is pretty brutally meritocratic. If you get better sales than the other guy and better conversion rates, they'll rank your product above something he's been selling for years. It's brutal, but on the other hand, as long as you stay ahead of the game, I do think they just generally are meritocratic about that. So I think you're right. It's just a question of being, what was it you said, the latest and greatest, really. You just got to aim high. I like also the most evolved product. That's a nice word putting it.
Yeah. It's almost like if you think about your Amazon business and journey, and this is again a simple comparison or idea, but you know, launching on Amazon is actually the tip of the iceberg. It's all of the stuff that you've done underneath the water that's going to result in your business being successful or not. And so I can't emphasize any more than saying, you have to follow the right business practices and strategies before you launch, because I want the business where, you know, I'm sitting there in my underpants working on my business 2 hours a week, you know, really just making sure that I stay in stock because my business is doing so well on Amazon. You know, I don't want the other business where maybe I'm doing a similar revenue number, but my margin is less. I'm frantically fighting with competitors. I'm frantically doing stuff off of Amazon with Facebook and everything else just to kind of keep my numbers going, where I'm working, you know, so hard on that business just to keep it going. So, and that really boils down to what decisions did you make before you launched? So that's the biggest piece that you have to get right. That's not to say that there isn't things you have to get right once you launch, but you know, the vast majority is before.
Yeah, you're so right. I literally know the people. I don't know what their underwear situation is, but I know some guy in one of the masterminds I run who's getting quite bored. He's working 3 hours a day. He's doing £1.2 million a year, I think, at a pretty healthy profit margin. And just, it does tick over because he made some very, very smart choices. And that really is a real thing. I mean, I can't say my own personal adventures when I was in have always been as successful as that. Maybe I've been lazy about my product research and differentiation, and I got what I deserved. But you're so right. It really is a question of doing a hell of a lot of work up front in order to then sit back and get the benefits later. As something along those lines that Pat Flynn said in his Smart Passive Income podcast, it really applies to Amazon as much as anything else. So listen, lots of great stuff there.
I think one other point I want to say on that is, and I actually made this mistake with my first product, is I'd put in such hard work to get myself over the goal line of launching and turning it into a successful business that, you know, a few months into that first product being successful, I took my foot a little bit off of the gas. And it's important to remember that, okay, you work so hard to be better than your competition and to launch that product. That same thing is now happening to you. There's people coming behind you, and you've managed to leapfrog them and stay ahead of them, but you need to continue to work and evolve your product and evolve your product line to really and diversify your risk to really make that leap into actually creating a genuine business, because there's a very different business around having one successful product and having a successful product line that is doing great revenue consistently over time. And that does take a lot of work and a lot of smart focus and, frankly, a little bit more guts, you know, than just launching your first product. So there is a big step between just launching one. There's a big step between not launching at all, launching one product, and actually launching it and driving a successful business. So don't take your foot off once you are alive and going.
Thank you. It's a good reminder that just because you managed to leapfrog the established market doesn't mean that somebody else isn't doing the same thing to you. So you've got to keep ahead of the game. And in the end, yeah, vigilance is really important. It's not a question of working crazy hours. It's a question of just keeping your eyes really, really open and being very in touch with what's happening in the market, I think, isn't it? And as you say, evolving your products over time is a great, I love the word evolved, because it implies like the evolution doesn't happen by somebody just sitting designing stuff. It's a messy process, but it involves the interaction between what you put out into the market, what the market actually thinks of it, the market's feedback in terms of, I'm going to buy it, I'm not going to buy it, I like this, I hate this, reviews, conversations, and then you going back and getting products made and that gradual messy but real process whereby you just get ahead of the competition and stay there. And I think I'm glad you referenced that, because I think that's also very, very important. Listen,
best pieces of advice I can give to someone who is actually looking to pick a product to launch is to pick a category or a product that will allow you to easily develop a line of products. So you potentially will have one manufacturer that might have expertise in and the ability to create a range of products, because you've taken so many steps to finding that initial supply and building that relationship. But if it really helps you in launching products 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, rather than you having to find a new supplier, a new line, all that kind of stuff, you diversify your risk really quickly and you can scale your business really quickly. So that's an important piece.
Yeah, that actually makes sense, because the hardest thing, I think, is, yes, we referred to before, getting a differentiated product that is, quote, better than the competition. Again, better for a particular need for a particular customer avatar. but also doing that at a price that keeps the profit, as you say, turnover versus leftover. And once you've found a good supplier, and if you can leverage them into multiple different products, that makes a huge amount of sense, because then you've done 80 to 90% of the hard work, right? So lots of great value here. Listen, we could talk all day about this stuff, but I better let you get back to life in glamorous Los Angeles, where it's looking sunny there. It's not so sunny in the UK right now. Nasty rainy weather. But other ways to connect to you, there's obviously Zonguru itself, the Zonguru website, zonguru.com. But I understand you've got a couple of other channels that people can connect via. So you want to talk us through those?
Yeah, absolutely. At zonguru.com, anytime we have a great support team that is very responsive. So just jump on there and ask questions. But I think some of the other things that you can get from Zonguru that are free that hopefully will provide value to your Amazon business is, for example, our Instagram channel. It's just at Zonguru. That's the handle. We launched that a while back, but we took the approach of not just creating another social media channel that was reflective of our software business and advertise our software business. We really thought about how we could provide value to people in the space. And what we came up with was essentially a Instagram channel that is basically a feed of product ideas and inspiration and everything around, you know, how to find great product niches on Amazon. If you're in that space of thinking of launching things or looking for your next product, this is a great channel for you. We go into what's hot, what's not, different ideas, why things are good niches, how do you differentiate further? So there's a lot of good value in just that Instagram channel. We also have a brand new series. This is coming on the end of 2019 now, but it's a four-part web series where you can actually take on the challenge of finding your next million-dollar product idea. And we really break down in a very short four-part web series, what are the right strategies for 2020, how to use data to find products, validate them, and launch, and then obviously to run your business. So I think in total, it's four parts, and it's probably 2 hours in total, but it will give you all of the latest unique perspectives on how to approach 2020. And that's available at 2020.zonguru.com, 2020.zonguru.com. So that's there and that's free. And we have some free tools that you can get from our website under Guru Tools. There's an ASIN index checker, a bunch of other ones there. So there's a lot of free value you can get from that. Oh, and last is the app. We've got a mobile app. And again, it's not just our website. It's actually trying to provide value there. And one thing it does, which I think is quite valuable to European sellers, because you sell on EU, but most likely you might sell on Amazon.com as well, is that it brings all of your sales together into one app. So if you sell on Amazon.com, Amazon Australia, or Amazon Europe, it'll show you that all in one application are all totaled up, and you can look at it by product or by day. Actually, I was on it yesterday because I've just recently launched a new product, and I was looking on Amazon and I'd seen some sales come through, but I wasn't sure what SKU or variation had come through. And that solved really quickly on our app. And it's much quicker at showing you sales before actually Amazon's even showing it. So that's all there for you to see. And it gives you a cha-ching. Every time you get a sale, you get a little noise that tells you you've got some money.
That's great. I have to say, people get very addicted to that Amazon seller apps of various kinds. So, but that danger aside, that sounds very useful, particularly as you say, pulling together international sales. It can be a real pain to have to keep, if you've got a separate Amazon.com from Amazon Europe account, you have to actually log out and log back in quite a few of the tools. So that is a really useful little device. So yeah, free mobile app, the Instagram channel, which has got some nice product ideas. I had a check of that earlier. And the 2020 video series sounds particularly useful. I mean, 2.5 hours of content for people who are very good at explaining stuff. I know Reliable Education, also your partner company, has a very, very good way of explaining complex, very simply. So that's great to have more of that. So
yeah, thank you. And thanks for everything you're doing. I think, you know, far too often, people don't realize that once you start an Amazon business, it can be lonely in the sense that you don't have as much community in a lot of ways. So the kind of things that you do in the space to keep that community and to keep people connected is massively valuable. So thank you for everything that you do. And I think the final thing for the listeners is we are truly at an amazing point in the world, in that you can create this global business literally without ever touching your product, without ever meeting your customer. And the ability to be able to scale a business that quickly with little capital investment and without having to have an MBA or anything like that is real. And it's there. And if it's interesting, you know, go after it and go after it hard, because the reward is amazing. Yeah.
Thanks. That's a fantastic message for which to leave it, John. It just remains for me to say thank you very much for everything you brought to us today. Forgive me spluttering at you. I hope that the listeners have not gathered me spluttering and that my poor long-suffering editor, Daniel, would have managed to cut that out. But very good to have some insights for somebody who's been in the market for years himself, and also a team of developers who are themselves Amazon sellers. That's very reassuring. So, John, many, many thanks for coming and sharing your insights and your wisdom with us.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.